This episode of Creepy Kingdom has been brought to you by Olivia Frankenstein. Olivia Frankenstein is an Etsy store that specializes in creepy-inspired enamel pins, buttons, t-shirt, patches, posters, bags, and much more, including their original design, Spooky Mouse Club, a must-have for every Creepy Kingdom citizen. You can check out that design and much more by going to oliviafrankenstein.patternbyetsy.com. That's oliviafrankenstein.patternbyetsy.com.
Spellcaster Media presents.
Greetings and welcome to episode 136 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness and spookiness of films, theme parks, and beyond. I'm your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, it is our recap of Creepy Tour Orlando 2017. So much awesome stuff went down. I'm going to tell all you guys about it. And we have some announcements mixed in there about some future tours, in case you couldn't make this one. But anyways, enough of me yip-yapping. Let's get to the show. And let's begin. Well, looky here. I'm here with the evil queen of the Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hi, James. I miss you.
It's been many fortnight.
It has been many a fortnight.
I don't know how many fortnight. That's 2 weeks,
right? I have no idea. I do know that I spent 12 days in SoCal, 10 of them in Disneyland, and did not see you a single solitary time. And it was so weird.
That's so pretty bizarre. I was not here that, I think, no. The entire time.
Nope. It was crazy. It was so weird. It was so weird that you weren't there. And it was so weird to know that I should have been with you or supposed to be with you. And the whole thing was really weird. And I'm really excited that we get to talk about it today. You should tell people what we're talking about today.
Yeah. I was like, with me where? Well, if people this far probably know, this is going to be our wrap-up of Creepy Tour Orlando 2017, which took place September 19th through the 26th. And, you know, I'm going to dish the dirt to you and Roxy, because I guess we got to get the elephant out of the room. Roxy was not there, as she stated.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not in the pictures that were posted, but I was quite absent from Creepy Trip Orlando.
Creepy Trip.
Okay. So the last podcast that we talked about this was the one where we were announcing it, and we were super excited and we were going to go, and we both fully planned on going. And then as it got closer, Hurricane Irma hit. And then Jose was supposed to be right behind that. And like Katie was right behind that. And some other stuff happened in my personal life.
Not Cupcake Terror.
Yeah.
Like Hurricane
no.
Katie. He was like,
Hurricane Katie.
And then Katie was right behind that.
And then Katie was right behind Jose. Yeah. Hurricane Cupcake Terror was supposed to hit. And then there was some stuff going on in my personal life and whatnot, and it turned out that I was unable to go to Florida, which on one hand really, really, really sucked. And on the other hand, I was able to take that time and that money and go to Disneyland instead. So while James was in Florida, I was in California, and we were both at Disney, and we were not together, and it was very weird.
It was. Probably weirder for you.
A little bit, yeah.
Not as weird for me, since we have never gone to Orlando together.
Never been there together. It's just sad. It's kind of pathetic, actually. But I am really excited. James and I have not talked about the trip, just so everybody knows. All I really know about the trip is what I got to see on social media when he posted and stuff like that. So yeah, he's going to give all of us the rundown on what happened.
I will. What can I say? Well, let's give a rundown of what, like an overview of what was, you know, went down, I guess. Just to recap, if you haven't heard about it or know. It was a week time in Orlando where we went to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Orlando. We went to this event called Spooky Day in the Park. And if you haven't heard about that yet, that was an incredible event put on by the people who run Spooky Empire. It took place at Walt Disney World. Have you heard of that place? Walt Disney World.
Well, it sounds familiar. But no, it's not. Nothing's coming to mind.
Well, let's see if I can jog your memory.
Anyway. So I think since we've already established that I wasn't there, you keep saying we. I think we should tell people who we is so they really kind of understand how the event went.
Sure. Well, we was the people that were there. I mean, we're not going to give everyone.
There are enough listeners who might not understand that this was like an event, like a tour. This wasn't just you going. You know,
right. Well, I could say the Creepy Kingdom people-ish that were there on this journey for, if not all of it, most of it here and there. We had Grant. He was there through a big portion of this. Listeners may know Grant from his very witty trip reports, including the one we just released about his trip to Aulani in Hawaii. Him and his wife, Brittany, they have a they just love to go to the most random, obscure places. And not that Hawaii is, but but they like to go to all these random theme parks. I mean, we just released last week a review of Sesame Place they went to.
Saw that.
Yeah, they just go all over the place. But then, of course, epically, they went to all the Asia Disney parks last year, and we had those episodes. So those guys, and they live in Florida. So Brittany could not make it to the tour, but Grant was there for a good chunk of it. Also, Ryan Grulick, my business partner at Spellcaster Media, the executive producer of Foolish Mortals, and sometimes Creepy Kingdom contributor. He's part of We as well. And another part of this we that is going to be in a lot of what went down, who's not officially part of the Creepy Kingdom crew, but as far as I'm concerned, she is Danielle Couch. She started off just like a listener of the show. She literally was a listener of the show.
She was. our history with Danielle is so cool. I love how the relationship, Creepy Kingdom's relationship with Danielle has progressed. I think it's just really neat. That's what you want when you do things like this.
Oh yeah.
You know?
And to recap, you know, she wrote in because I said that the Kilimanjaro Safaris was boring, and she started her career at Disney as a driver. So she wrote in to yell at me.
Yeah, she wrote in to yell at James and tell him that he was wrong. That is how we were first introduced to Danielle. She told him that he was wrong, and obviously he had never ridden it with her because she's awesome.
And I still have it because she doesn't drive the safari trucks anymore.
So then we had her on the show, right? After that.
I don't know if it was after that or not, but I think we met her before we had her on the show, because then we were both at Disneyland when she was there.
I don't know. Either way, we had her on the show. We talked about her email to James and her like experiences. And then we were in Disneyland, and she happened to be in Disneyland at the same time that we were. So we got to meet her in person, and we took some pictures and hung out for a little while, and that was really cool.
Yep. And then I saw her last year when I was filming Foolish Mortals in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. And now you saw her on the trip. So yeah, when you do shows like this, when you do podcasts or YouTube shows or whatnot, and you have people out there that are listening and are fans of the show, that's what you always hope will happen.
Oh yeah.
You know, like that's like the dream, is that a fan of your show will write in, and over time they become friends and part of the, you know, crew. And like, it just, I just think it's so cool.
I mean, I can honestly say I started Creepy Kingdom for two reasons. The first reason is that it didn't exist and I wanted it to.
Amen.
And the second one was I wanted to find like-minded people. I mean, it's
check.
So you preach on, sister, to that, what you're saying. That's exactly that's exactly what I want out of life. So it's incredible. It's incredible the people that this show has brought into my life. I was telling you about to start crying. I was like, oh, I can't just...
Like me.
Like you.
Like me. Okay, now we've had a moment.
Yeah, we had the moment. It was... Yes, so that's who we are. There's some other people that checked in with us here and there. You know, not everyone could do the tour the whole time. They could only do parts of it. And... You know, I'll address that a little later. And plus, the big thing is not everybody could go that wanted to go, because it was put together on very short notice, about 2 months or less than 2 months lead time.
Less than 2 months.
Yeah. So that.
Less.
You know, so that was unfortunate, but.
I just want you guys to know, when James came at me and told me this, and he was like, yeah, so it's, you know, at this point in time in September, blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, of next year? And he was like, no, like next month. And I was like, no, no. Yeah, no, he was serious.
Yeah, I was serious. And well, if listeners might recall that when I gave my trip, Walt Disney World trip report episode of last fall of 2016, that's when I first thought of this idea, because I did all this fun stuff, and a lot of that I did by myself, and I'm like, oh, I want to do that with listeners and friends and the whole nine. My mic stand is giving me problems.
I see that. You can see him trying to keep his tone the same while he is wrestling with his mic.
The visuals that Roxy's getting. Anyways, I'll leave it in for you guys. Good times. I thought of that idea, and then we were meaning Foolish Mortals was invited to screen at the Spooky Day in the Park event, which I was about to explain. And so it's like, okay, well, then we're going to go out there for that. This event sounds incredible. And it's like, cool. And it's like, well, let me extend it. And that all came together very late. And that's why the tour is late and all that stuff. But still had an amazing time. And I'm going to tell you guys about it. And, you know, I'll just put this out there right now, is that this is definitely happening again. So we'll get a little more details
way
later.
Way more notice.
Yeah, almost a year. Well, almost a full year's notice. So
that's right. So you're getting your notice right now, people. Okay, just keep it in the back of your mind that next year we're all doing this together.
Yeah, we'll have a little more details on how that's possibly going to happen. You know, towards the end. So there's your. There's your carrot dangling in front of you to listen to me ramble for an hour or so. So, anywho, Spooky Day in the Park. It was a slash convention slash meetup at Walt Disney World, and at Colorado Springs they had vendors set up, lots of spooky Disney things you could buy. They also screened our film there. They had panels. you know, lots of good fun. We had a panel there. I almost forgot about that. Yeah, so it was just...
How'd the panel go? Did it go well?
I think it went well, but...
Good. Is there video?
There actually is video. Inside the Magic covered it, and there is a video of it, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Some of the things that I'm going to talk about, we actually recorded episodes live on the scene. Oh, and how can I forget one of the most amazing parts of Spooky Day in the Park was that they had a private party at the Tower of Terror.
Uh-huh.
What were you doing on that night?
That was Thursday night?
Friday night.
That was Friday night. Well, I'm sure I was in Disneyland.
Well, that's cool. Disneyland's a cool place.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I was.
Don't have
so
a Tower
whatever.
Of Terror there anymore, though, huh?
No, it's fine. We're at Tower of Terror that way. Oh, I know what I was doing while you were at the Tower, exclusive Tower of Terror party. I was in 1901.
Wow, we're just exclusive bragging show-off here on the show, man. Like,
we really are, as a matter of fact. We really are. Yeah, and the next day, I don't know what you were doing, but I was in Club 33. So, like, I mean, that's cool.
What was I doing? Oh, I'm going to tell you what I was doing. Anyway, so they don't have that yet at Walt Disney World. But if they did, I bet you I would have ended up there.
Probably. I heard that they're going to, though. I heard
yeah, they are.
One.
Yeah, in all the parks, they're going to have a Club 33 equivalent.
Yes.
That's why I said yes.
We should show them that one these days.
So, yeah, we'll see. If it would have been open, I would have been there. Because Disney Magic was on that Saturday. Was at an all-time high, let me tell you. But anyway, so a lot of fun stuff. As I was getting at, we recorded a lot of things on the event. Either those episodes have come out already or they're coming. So you're not going to get too into it, but let's just dip a little bit into some of the fun activities here. I'm not really going to go play-by-play. I'm going to go highlights, because if I really sat here and went play-by-play, this would be a very long podcast.
We'd be here forever.
but the tour started off at the Universal side, and, you know, went to Hollywood Horror Nights in Orlando. There is an episode recorded from there. Reviewing all the houses. I'm not going to get too into that right now, but that event is just, it's literally the best Halloween event in the country. I just love it so much. I had such an amazing time. And my one complaint of it is that it's almost impossible to do everything in one night. And the remedy to that
I was going to say, that does suck because it's a hard ticketed event.
Yeah. Like you, but so I was complaining about this to some other people that are in the know. Well, they do have an express pass that you could buy, and that's $100 on top of your ticket. And the ticket's usually $100, but I was able to get a discount ticket of $60. So nice. The idea of dropping $100, plus I was, you know, I wasn't alone. You know, it's the tour.
Everyone has to do it. It's all or nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of like, well, that's not going to happen. But what I did not know about, I was ignorant. You know, I thought I knew everything. I was informed on what to do next year, and it's going down. There is something called the RIP tour.
Oh.
And these numbers may not matter because I don't remember exactly what they are. But for, I think if you get a tour group of, you can have a group of up to maybe 15 or 10 people, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the numbers, so don't hold me to this, listeners. If you really need to know, find out on the website.
Right, go to the website and find out. James is now going to make things up.
Yeah, I'm just going to make things up, but it's in the range of about between $1,500 to $2,000, and you basically get a personal tour that brings you not to the express line, but literally right into the house.
Nice.
So if you have a group of people, that's you're really looking at about like $150, $200.
per person.
Yeah, just skip the lines completely.
Yeah.
And then you can do everything in one night, huh?
Multiple times.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, that's definitely going to happen. Because that was my run complaint. It was just so worried about trying to get everything in and trying to get a little bit of glimpse of the Wizarding World while I was there. But I was like... I was like, oh, I want to hang out here, but I can't because we got to get in line because we got to get to all the houses. Yeah, ended up not going at all the houses. They had 9 houses, and we went to 8. But what was funny was that – no, I went to 7, actually. What was funny was that we actually ended up going to 1 twice. So we could have done another one, but I just loved this one so much that I had to do it again, and that was the American Horror Story one. just knocked it out of the park.
That's awesome.
Like, I mean, I'll briefly talk about it. I mean, they had it was Asylum, Coven, and Roanoke, like mashup house.
Nice.
And I was super excited for Coven because it's funny. Last time we talked about this, I don't know if it was on the show or not. I had not watched Asylum or Coven.
That's right, you hadn't.
And so I went in there and started watching them.
And
one of the thing I mentioned is that in the past I had watched Murder House, Freak Show, and Roanoke. That's what I said, right? Hotel. I'd started watching all those seasons and then I got bored and stopped watching it. So I had never finished a season of American Horror Story. I was so in love with Coven. Like, I was just so blown away by it. I was like, I was sad when it was over.
Like, right? Yeah. Oh my God, me too. That last episode, I was just like, this, what is happening?
I was like, more. I was like, keep
ridiculous.
It going.
Yep.
That is like right up my alley. I loved everything about it. The performances, the characters, the social message, the everything about it. Oh, I just loved it. Anyway, so that was what I was really looking forward to. But I got to tell you, Asylum, the house, and Asylum, the Halloween Horror Nights, that just blew me away. It was just absolutely incredible. I mean, the Coven stuff was cool, but the Asylum stuff, I'd seen stuff in that house that I'd never seen done in any other like haunted house walkthrough. Ever like
that's awesome.
They had these tricks with mirrors that that just blew me away. Everything about it, I was just like, so good. Anyways, if you haven't listened to that episode, if it's not out yet, it'll be out soon. I don't know, whatever. But at it, you know, it was still fun. Next year, you know, we're gonna do the RIP, so make sure. So come along with us. We're all gonna get a big old.
Well, we go right to the front of the line.
Yeah, like, excuse us.
Exclusive people coming through.
Yes. Excuse us. Get out of our way. But excellent, excellent time. What else did we do there that was fun? I do want to point out that one of our little side trips there that we did after hours was go to a bar called Joysticks.
Which is yet another thing that I'm very sad that I missed. Because Joysticks looks awesome.
This place is incredible. Awesome is an understatement. I mean, like, so it's an arcade bar, and it was very new. No local never even knew it existed. I was like telling people about it. I was like, how do you know? I'm like, well, you know, I know what's up. I don't know about RIP tours, but I know the cool new bars in town. Anyways, what's really cool about this place is that they have all these different themed seating areas. They're mostly themed to 80s stuff, which makes sense. But for some reason, they have an area themed to Haunted Mansion, which is how it came on my radar to begin with. But they have an area themed to Jaws, Barbie, Goonies, Tron, Star Wars, just
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, there's a Slimer there. Just incredible, like, set pieces. And I ended up talking to the bartender about it, and she told me that the person that opened the bar used to work off in the Universal's Creative, which is their equivalent of Imagineering at Disney. So I was like, oh, I could tell because the production value in here is incredible. They had specialty cocktail. I had a drink. It's called the Foolish Mortal, so I had to get it, of course. It was had dry ice in it, and it was a bubbling cocktail, and it was delicious. It was almost as good as the specialty cocktail that we had at the Foolish Mortals premiere, which I believe was called the Madame Leota. I don't recall. I didn't come up with it. But
but you had a few.
I did. Yeah. I got to taste test them to make sure they're okay ahead of time, though.
That's good. Quality control is important.
Yeah, we definitely had quality control on that. And they had quality control on this drink, too, because it was awesome. I don't know if I mentioned this Goonies thing, but the Goonies area was actually a private VIP area. So when we go back there, we'll be in the private Goonies. Like, I love this place so much. I wish that this was my local bar. I would be there, like, I'd be a regular. I'd be like Norm from Cheers. So they would. It's such a cool place.
Walk in, hey James.
Yep. Very, very cool. It's in downtown Orlando, so it's a little off the beaten path. You got to have transportation hour to get there if you're visiting the parks, or take an Uber. It's probably about a $20 Uber ride each way, so it's an investment. But if you're invested in good times, you know, you made it all the way to Orlando, why stop?
Right there.
And not too many bars and places to get a drink are open very late on Walt Disney World property, by the way. I don't really understand what that's about.
No, they're not. you know that is one of my biggest complaints about Disney World's property, is that things don't stay open late. And if you get in late and you're hungry, it's too bad.
Yep. Enjoy some vending machines action, because not much else is happening. Yeah, very, very bizarre. But anyways, great time there for sure. Let's see here. Let's talk a little. What else should we talk about here?
Oh wait, what's the steampunk place?
Oh yes, Toothsome.
Yeah.
So this is Toothsome Chocolate Emporium, where they have these, you know, crazy milkshakes. Which was what was funny was that I was hanging out in City Walk, their area, Universal's area where this is. And on a random table were these two full Toothsome milkshakes, which cost like $15 each or something ridiculous.
They were just sitting there.
Yeah, someone they abandoned them.
See, you posted them and you were like, there's nothing sadder than abandoned milkshakes. And I commented and said, one of those should be mine. And you were like, I don't think you want these ones. I did not realize that, like, though you had literally found these abandoned milkshakes.
Right, yeah. Like... Yeah, and Shannon, my girlfriend, her first interpretation of when she talked to me was that I literally thought, she thought I just bought two milkshakes and then left them there.
Oh, see, I thought, like, someone was with you and, like, they had left. Or, like, two people had been with you and they had, took off and they just abandoned milkshakes. Like, that's what I thought.
No, someone just got those milkshakes and was like, nope. I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
And I didn't have one this trip either. Toothsome. I've heard some people have had some great experiences there. My time there, I don't know. I wasn't impressed. There was a lot of potential there. And, you know, they have these characters. You know, one's like a steampunk robot and another one's a steampunk lady that's supposed to come around to the table and interact with you. Never came around.
That sucks.
Yeah, my food was super greasy. Like it was, you know, I don't know. I'm willing to give it another shot. So I'm, you know, I'll give him one more chance, I guess. You know, but a lot of potential there, but I'm not sure. Maybe it was just off for us for some reason.
I know. That sucks.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with that, but I didn't. Maybe we'll just go there for milkshakes, because like I said, by the time I got done eating this greasy meal, I couldn't couldn't do anything. You know, I was like, I wasn't going to have a $15 milkshake.
I think it's a fabulous idea to just go for milkshakes. That sounds perfect.
All right.
And then we'll get Taco Bell afterwards if we're hungry.
All right. I don't think we'll be hungry. Or we'll just abandon them and get Taco Bell.
I will not abandon a $15 milkshake.
The thing is, it comes in a mug you can keep, too. That was the other thing about it. It's a glass mug. Like, at least dump it out and take the mug. I don't know. Am I? Why not have a souvenir? I don't know. anyways. Yeah, let's talk a little spooky day in the park. We had the two Foolish Mortals screenings, which was a lot of fun. There's only the second and third time the public had seen them. So that was a lot of fun. The vendors there were great. Some of them vendors were in Foolish Mortals, so it was cool to have them.
Oh, that's awesome to see them again and like reconnect.
Yep, and had a dandy time with that. What else was really going on there? I mean, it was kind of like a little con. You know, it was a little spooky Disney vendor con.
So is it the vendor part? Is it kind of like the only thing I could think that like would compare to it would be the Bat's Day Black Market?
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially
right. So it's basically the same like concept as that.
Yes. But that thrown in with some panels and screening our film. They also had a Disney villain bounding fashion show.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they had quite a variety. I mean, it was all the stuff that was going on there. It really felt like Creepy Kingdom came up with it. I mean, to be honest. Like I couldn't believe this was like a real event. Like it was just so awesome. We just had such a blast with all the events that went on there, including, of course, this Tower of Terror, the gala at the tower.
Yes, tell me everything.
So by the time this comes out, there will have been an episode that we recorded there, but you know, here's some afterthoughts. So this event. Just to recap, it was after Hollywood Studios closed. It was 3 hours at the Tower of Terror and unlimited rides, Tower of Terror, open bar, unlimited desserts, and meet and greets with villains, including Maleficent, the Evil Queen, the Queen of Hearts, and one of the most sought after villain. Or not villain, just characters that was supposed to be coming to Disneyland, which did not show up because he was in Florida, is Oogie Boogie.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, that I think that covers it all. And plus, they had a DJ playing, you know, music there. But no one's really dancing. Everyone was, like, pretty focused on the bar and the villains.
So how many people would you say showed up to this party? Good amount, right?
Yeah, I would say it's a hard ticketed event. So it was separate from everything else. So I wasn't sure if people would be there, but it was, I had to guess it was over 100.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's like 100 people. That's a lot. That's not really a lot for, just think about the hourly capacity of like Tower of Terror. You know,
right?
So the
party took place in the so it's at the ride in the courtyard and the lobby, right?
No, the party was at the exit.
Oh, the party's at the exit. Okay.
Yeah, that's where the villains were set up. That's where the DJ was. But all along towards the entrance, they had the bar, the desserts. They also had Tower of Terror characters, which I'd never seen before.
Oh, that's neat.
Like bellhops that had, you know, little character, you know, little backstories.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd never seen that anywhere before, let alone like during regular park hours.
That's hell of cool.
So that was fun. I'm trying to think. I did partake in the open bar quite a bit.
So. Is the podcast that you recorded there going to reflect that?
Probably.
Oh, yay.
So, probably. I don't know
if you guys would have guessed this about James, but drunk James is a happy James.
I'm not mean drunk. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not really mean normally anyways, but I'm definitely not mean drunk.
I don't think I've ever actually seen you be mean, but no, I think you're awesome when you're drunk, though, because you are very happy and very social and, like, I think it's fun, so.
Oh, I'm glad. but I had made the choice pretty early on. It was either going to be the open bar or Tower of Terror rides. So I did not even go on Tower of Terror during this party.
What?
Because of the bar and because I was podcasting the entire time. Ryan made that choice as well. But Grant, our soldier, he made the choice to go with the open bar and go on Tower of Terror, which is on the show. So, and he explained to me, he's like, you know, been on Tower of Terror so many times, and there's something very eerie and unsettling about riding Tower of Terror by yourself and not hearing anyone else scream. It's just completely quiet.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It's he ended up going on it 5 times, and he said, and 3 of those were by himself. And the last time, since he was drunk, and this was on, we have this on the show because he recorded it, he decided that he would sing Meatloaf's "I Would Do Anything for Love." The entire ride.
Right on.
Because he could, because he wouldn't be disturbing anyone else.
Yeah. I thought of all kinds of things to do if I was by myself and wasn't going to disturb anybody else. I am sorry that I missed the whole trip, obviously. I'm not happy that I missed the whole trip, but the Tower of Terror party is what I was looking forward most to. So it's what I'm the most upset about missing.
Well, you know, it happened. Will it happen again? I don't know. I know I whispered, I heard some rumblings of some other exclusive type things, and I feel like whether that happens or not, clearly this was a huge success. And, you know, there will be something, if it's not as awesome, I think it'll be more awesome, personally. You know, I don't know. Will it, who knows? But the bar was set pretty high with this one. You know what I mean? Like, so you got to go. You got to up the ante each time, right? You know?
It would not hurt my feelings if it was the same thing next year. I'm just saying.
Right. I mean, it was. You know, maybe it will be. I don't know. that's out of my hands. I will say that was a lot of fun. Just. You know, everyone's having such a great time. I loved interacting with the characters and drinking the specialty drinks there. And I will say, actually, I might as well bring it up now. The entire time that I was there, from the moment I got off the plane to the moment I got on the plane, 24 hours a day, was the most brutal humidity that I had ever encountered in my entire life. In Florida, living in New Jersey, like, it was relentless. It was just oppressing. Like,
and all of a sudden I feel better about not going.
I mean that if I, you know, if I had to point out any negative about, I mean, it is what it is. And but I was just like, you know, it was such a shock. You know, I've been living in Southern California for a few years now where there's no humidity. I mean, maybe 1 or 2 days a year there's a little bit of humidity. And that was brutal. So that was kind of not a good mix with drinking because it was just so hot. But whatever, you know, you make do and you have a good time. They had this really cool thing. They had dry, I don't forget what they called it, but they had this popcorn that was had dry ice in it or something. So when you eat it, you could blow smoke out of your nose like a dragon.
Oh, yeah. It's they use liquid nitrogen.
That's what it is. Yes,
not for it. Ice,
liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, there's a drink at the Chandelier Bar in Las Vegas, that that they do that. They have berries. It's called a dragon's breath.
Okay. Yeah. So it might have even said, I don't forget what they called it, but all the food had cute names. So I'm sure it had something with like dragon. That was fun. And then as we left, they gave us a caramel apple that looked like the poison apple that Snow White gets.
Neat.
So that was fun. They also handed out a exclusive enamel pin for the enamel pin collectors out there. Just really, really an awesome time. I did go on Tower of Terror during this trip. Don't get me wrong.
Just not that night when you could have wrote it all by yourself and had like that once in a lifetime experience. No, yeah, that makes total sense. Sorry. Yeah,
cool. Grant had it for me. I made the choice. I made the choice to podcast, to cover the event. We had, had to podcast for you guys, and that was the choice that I made, and to drink. Anyway, so and I have no regrets. So no regrets at all. So anyways, so that was the Friday, and then the Saturday was the next day, a spooky day, where we screened in the afternoon. Noon, which was great. Another great screening. And after which is when we had our kind of panel live podcast where we had Jason Sorrell join us. He wrote Haunted Mansion book for Disney. He's a former Imagineer. Now he works for Universal Creative. He also was the person that put in the effect of Leota's tombstone and the Haunted Mansion and Walt Disney World that makes her eyes blink. So he was in the film Foolish World. So, but he's been involved in a lot of cool stuff. So, you know, we talked a little Haunted Mansion history and talked a little creepy Disney history and stuff like that as well. And that was documented by Inside the Magic. We also document it and may or may not put it out. I haven't gotten there yet. We recorded so much stuff during this trip. A lot of it I haven't listened back yet to know if it's good or not. So that's why I'm like, is it out yet or not? I don't know. But it may not ever come out. It may be just on our Patreon. I don't know. But anyways, the video of that panel is up. So that was a lot of fun. It's the first live, you know, panel podcasting thing that I've done. So it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
This episode of Creepy Kingdom has been brought to you by League of Shadows. This is an Etsy shop that specializes in paranormal and creepy inspired jewelry, including a Haunted Mansion Parasol Girl necklace. Just go to Etsy.com/shop/League of Shadows. That's Etsy.com/shop/League of Shadows. After that was the literal spooky day in the park, where Spooky Day had a lot some scheduled meetups all around Magic Kingdom.
So how does that work? So the screening and the panel and whatnot were earlier in the day, and then their official like park meetup starts later in the afternoon.
Yeah, it started. I think their first meetup was at 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they had made it so that they had the events in the morning, and then you spend the time in the park. You know, 6 or whatever time you get there, 4 or 5. Because I think the last thing ended at 4, till close, which is
neat.
Was 11 or midnight. I don't recall at this point. We went over there maybe about 5 o'clock, and then that's when we started meeting up with a whole bunch of people, and that's when the creepy tour was in like full effect. When I think Grant had left by that point. Yeah, he did. So unfortunately Grant had to leave that morning, so he's no longer part of this story. Sorry, I was sad, but Grant is not too sad since he got to go to the Tower Terror party. But it was like Disney magic was in full effect while we were there. There was something in the air. I don't know what it was. It could be that we were with two cast members and they just put little
that does help.
Little things that I didn't see and take place so that magic happened. You know, from what I could see, they didn't really do anything, but I, you know, I don't know, but just pure magic. One was a small one, and I was gonna bring this up. So not all of us, but a few of us ate at Pecos Bill's.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was funny was that Ryan was there, and someone had come by and asked if he needed anything. Which it's not table service, it's counter service.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he just jokingly said, he's like, well, if there's some way that I could get some chips without having me get back in line, that'd be awesome. Like, he just said that as a joke. So then she comes back and brings him chips, like, for free. And these chips are like $4.99 on the menu, like chips and salsa. And he was like, oh, I was just joking. He's like, but he was by himself at that point. So the rest of us had gotten back. And so they're like, oh, does the rest of your party want chips? And we're like, okay. She literally got everybody chips for free. And these are
that's
like,
awesome.
You know, we're just like, wow, okay.
That's rad.
Yeah. We're like, that was unexpected, but we're like, it's just really, it's, I mean, it's not like the biggest deal ever, but it's like those little things where you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Well, those are the little things that make Disney better than other places.
Better than other places.
I'm just saying.
And, yeah, it's better than going to the mall or going to McDonald's. They don't give me free chips there.
Give you free chips, okay?
I also want to say this too, and it's interesting. This could be a different topic for a different show, or maybe a Patreon topic because it's not really creepy. But it's interesting how like I'd say the experience that I had that night, or that we all had that night at Magic Kingdom, I feel like I would never have that in Disneyland. And I don't know if it's because I'm a local. I can't think of any time really ever that somebody did something special for me while I was at Disneyland.
Really?
That really stands out, like a cast member or something cool, you know, like nothing really stands out. And I'm like, I mean, I'm sure, like maybe you know, someone, you know, whatever, maybe slightly, but nothing to the extent of what I'm going to talk about here, you know. And I'm like, maybe you're just like, you know, you're appreciated more when you're like the out of town people, right, as opposed to like the locals.
Maybe. Well, I've had like so many experiences at Disneyland that were like above and beyond and cast members going out of their way. So I'm like super excited to hear whatever it is that you are about to say.
Well, you're also not a local. That's you live
that's true.
6 hours away.
That is very true.
What I'm insinuating here is I'm not saying I deserve any to be treated these things. I'm saying like, I just think there's so many locals that go to the park. It's so many entitled local pass holders.
Pass holes?
Yes, so many pass holes that you know. I feel like the cast members are more inclined to maybe do those for people that are out of town. How they determine that is up to their discretion. Whether they're out of town, maybe they just literally ask, you know. But
possible.
The Walt Disney World is like 85% tourist, you know, like here, probably mm-hmm. maybe even higher, you know, like, so I just felt like that level of like making magic, I guess, is, well, it's just like, is this higher there in general, but there was just something going on there. And I might not even remember all the things that happened, but another thing that was so super awesome was we went in a Haunted Mansion. And someone earlier had mentioned, is like, oh, have you seen the servants' quarters? And I was like, no, what's that? And they're like, oh, well, it used to be just the chicken exit after the stretching room. But now mm-hmm. they have decorated it to have keys to all the rooms that are labeled and bells that are supposed to be linked up to all the different rooms. You know, so we're like, oh, okay. Like, so we, like, So when we got off the ride, I just the first cast, you know, mansion maid I saw, I just asked, it's like, oh, you know, like, can we see the servants' quarters? And, you know, I mean, you know, the fate was in her hands there. She could have said no or been in character, you know, but
totally.
Whatever, she let us in. And that, you know, and she was, you know, she just kind of stood there while we were all were like, oh, that's so cool, taking pictures, just hanging out. Like, she wasn't like kind of rushing us along. And then we were getting ready to, like, you know, leave. And then she just opened the door back onto the ride and just said, oh, you guys can just go ahead and get back on the
ride.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. So we're just like, sweet. That's so awesome. And what else happened there? Oh, and then, so I said, I mentioned we were with a cast member. And that, I don't want to put her on blast there, but I will say that, she is a Jungle Cruise skipper. And, but she was not working, obviously. She was hanging out with us.
Yeah.
And, oh, I remembered some, there was a few other things that I'm not going to mention on the show that happened. I was like, I knew there was more. You know, we'll just keep some things you got to keep to yourself. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of, you know, maybe I set the bar high, kind of like saying that we had these all these special things, but it just seemed that everything was working out the way we wanted it to. And this group of people, some of whom had just met that afternoon, let alone that maybe even that day, were just, we just all were just on this Disney high of loving, you know, being part of Foolish Mortals, because most of the people in the group were, or just loving being at Disney, loving Haunted Mansion, loving spooky Disney stuff. And like, it was this Disney high that I had just never felt. It was just coming at me from all angles. And we ended the night. We're like, all right, we gotta end at Mansion. We gotta get there right, you know, before they close, you know, before they cut off the line. Yeah, we gotta be the last ones on there.
Yeah, you gotta creep.
And we had went on Big Thunder right before that, and I think we had like 5 minutes before park close when we got off Big Thunder. So it was like, you know, I'm a Disneyland guy, and, you know, it's not too far to go from A to Z there, but you know, we had to trot to get there. We got there, we were the last people there, and there was maybe 15 or 20 people that went into the stretching room. And then we just asked, like, is it possible for us to have our, you know, our own stretching room, like, be the last people? And they said, okay.
That's awesome.
And so we had our own stretching room, and then we all laid down on the ground.
That was such a cool photo.
We're just like, I was like, I'm giving, why are we keep being allowed to do these ridiculous things at the park? It was the magic of the creepy tour, man. It was.
Yeah, because sometimes that just happens. Those are the best. Those are my absolute best Disney memories are times like that when the people you're with are just amazing and everything clicks and everything just seems to be working out. And even these just tiny little extra things that happen just are so magical.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of an understatement. It was. I walked away from that going, like, that was literally the best time I'd ever had at Walt Disney World in my life. Like, that night, just, as a chunk of time in the park, you know? Like, and plus, it's just, you know, being able to go to Florida and still have it be, like, a special destination. Obviously, I love Disneyland, and I purposely move close to it so I can go to whenever I want to. But now it's part of, like, life. It's not, like, a... It's not vacation. I mean, that's the only way to put it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but this is like just such an escape from reality, you know, like, especially, you know, to get to Magic Kingdom, and, you know, you got to, it's such a trek even from the parking lot, you know, let alone to get right across the country. You know, it was so fun. And then going to the little meetups, you know, for their photo ops and all this stuff and taking the group pictures and stuff. I mean, you know, it was fun too. And then running into people that were at the screenings earlier in the day, a few people came up to us and said that they really enjoyed the film and, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, wow, look, this is such an awesome time here. So like I said, there's a few things that happened that I'll leave off the show, but, and we ended up having a great time. The Spooky Days ended with, the next morning with their character breakfast, which was a buffet, and Mickey and Minnie came out in costume, which apparently I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was costumes they wore at Mickey's Not So Scary. Last time they wore it was over 10 years ago. So
wow.
If you're like a character collector photo person,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was available there. I gotta say, I mean, after the parks closed that night, we were trying to find a place. We wanted to go to Trader Sam's. We got to Trader Sam's. Whatever time it was, they closed in half an hour, and then they were like, "We can't let anyone else in," until three more people leave, and we had more people than that with us. And then last call was in 20 minutes. Like, it was just totally like,
yeah, didn't work.
It didn't work. And I'm like, why did they not, as we complained about earlier, I'm like, why did they not, like, they know what time Magic Kingdom closes. I mean, that's one of the top places that people are going to want to go, because it's right. It's right there. That's why we decided to go there. So it was tough. We actually ended up having to find a place, to continue our festivities off property, which was not an easy feat.
No.
Not at all. I mean, not everybody was up for it either, because a lot of people, they're staying on property, and
yeah, and you had a full day and it was late, and
some people were like, oh, we'll have a few drinks on property, but trekking off, it was tough. First world problems, I guess, whatever, but it was tough. It was inconvenient. Anyways, but we had a really late night, I'll say that. So not all of us made it to the breakfast in the morning, but when there's a breakfast buffet, James H. Carr II is going to be there.
There's nothing that stops you from doing Disney things. You're the craziest Disney person I have ever met, ever. You'll do all parks in one day. Like, you're literally the opposite of me. Literally the opposite of me. I walk in at like 2 o'clock in the morning to my hotel room, and I have somewhere to be at like 10 o'clock the next morning, and it'll be 10 o'clock. And I'm like, no,
not happening. No, that was a rough wake up call.
I'll bet.
I'll tell you, but I was like, all right, come on. There's Mickey waffles calling your name.
The Mickey waffles are not going to butter themselves.
They're not. That might have been my literal thought. They're not going to butter themselves. So yeah, I dragged myself down there and had a splendid old morning. I will say that, though, this trip in general for me was just, it was a nonstop thing. Like, yeah, there were some rough days. And in fact, that night I had initially had some plans, and the tour had some plans, but I kind of was like, they had to go on without me. My wallet had been hit. Let's just say that. I was like, just go on without me.
It's only so long you can push yourself for.
Yeah, so I had a little bit, but I rested a little bit one night, but then we're back at it, kept it going. We had some Walt Disney Worlding to do. So, briefly, let's just say this. We did make it to Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Yeah, which looked amazing.
Yeah, the being in the area looks great. It's a lot of, it's a lot of fun to be there. But I did get to ride both of the new attractions. So some brief thoughts on that. So there's the Navi River Adventure, which my first thoughts on it was like, that was cute and creepy, but kind of short. It was like it's a boat ride and you're kind of riding through the river and there's jungle things and there's just little weird creatures and stuff happening all around you.
Is it like, is it a boat ride like the Three Caballeros thing over in World Showcase, like that type of?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not so much in the, I mean, it's very like layered and three-dimensional and immersive. Grand Fiesta Tour is not that immersive.
No, it's not.
But so it's not like, but it's the same kind of boat situation. And then there's a impressive Navi animatronic at the end. I just know that once we reached what was the end, I was like, oh, that was the end? I was like,
oh, that sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of like, I thought it was just getting going. So, you know, that take, so if you're going to be waiting in 3 hour lines for that one, you know, take that, you know, for what you will.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. What?
I don't wait 3 hours.
Okay,
you
got it. Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay.
No.
I didn't know if you were talking to me or not. I thought someone was offering you crackers.
No, I don't need any crackers. I'm actually sitting over here eating Keegan's candy, and he just realized it, and, like, he gave me the dirtiest look.
You're pretty sneaky, sis.
I know.
anyways, so then we have Flight of Passage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their new signature e-ticket attraction. And, you know, I said on social media, I'll say it again on the show right here, that is an amazing attraction. It is.
So what kind is it? Is this simulator or?
I mean, it is. Well, basically, it took me a while to understand what exactly was going on there before I went on there. And eventually Danielle, like, it clicked in my head when she explained. I was like, oh, wait a minute, because I barely remember the movie. So in the movie, the humans go into these things that are in a safe space, and then they control these robot versions of the Na'vi creatures, hence their avatars.
Oh.
And one of the things that they do is that they ride these things, banshees. I can't remember what they're called. in the movie, like, and so that's essentially what you're doing here, is that you are going on type of a simulator to sync with your avatar. So you sit actually on this thing. It's just a nondescript kind of thing, but you kind of slide into it like a, like you're on a, like a carousel horse.
Okay.
And, you know, they lock you in, they lock you all around, you know, behind your legs, all on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to your simulation, which is pretty, you know, the best thing I can describe it to is kind of like a Soren experience.
Okay.
But, like, this has, like, this is like Soren times a million. Like, the thrill of this attraction is just incredible. Like, it is just, you're just like, it's a sensation that I've never felt for. Like, the mind games that it's playing of what's, you know, like, you feel like you're actually flying on the back of this, of a creature around. It was incredible. Like, I mean, it was long too. I mean, for an attraction, I feel like it was like 5 minutes or something like that.
Nice.
And there's a portion of the ride where everything's super thrilling and intense, and then it just like slows down, and you get to actually take a moment to take it all in, and then it gets super thrilling. Like, so it was. It's, you know, it, I, as soon as it was over, my immediate thought was like, again, again. I want to go again.
That's awesome.
I got to go on it twice. They didn't let me go on it again that time. I did get to experience it twice. Definitely loved it. What other highlights there? Did a little Food and Wine course.
Always fun.
Yep. Got, you know, ate some things there. I did attempt to go on the Frozen ride again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not happening, because apparently what's happening with this ride is that it's broken down more than it's open.
Oh. Well, okay.
So I put in a valiant effort, just because, as you may recall last year, I was like, it's a fun ride, you know, yeah. You know, and I figured, you know, you got to do, you know, the goal, you know, the creepy tour will do the creepy rides, but I got to also hit in those stuff that's not at Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
You know, so, I'm trying to think if there's any other, theme park highlights there. Oh, how could I forget? Let me wrap this up with this. So at Hollywood Studios, they have the Star Wars Nighttime Spectacular or something. I don't know what it's called. But it's like a projection fireworks show. And from what I could gather with it, that it was like that it was a temporary or something they threw together. Or I don't really know. I was like, oh, I want to check it out. I heard it was pretty good or whatever. My expectations of it were pretty minimal, I guess. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
I was absolutely blown away by the show. I was almost brought to tears. Like, it was absolutely incredible.
Wow.
I liked it more than like watching Hollow Wishes at the Halloween party.
Damn.
I know a lot of this is you have to at least like Star Wars, but independent of that, like, it was just perfect. Like, the projections, the way the fireworks came in, and the way they, the moments of the movies that they hit, and the, like, it was just all encompassing, was just all around me, and I was just like, I was like, oh my God, this is the best. Like, this is why we travel across the country. You know, like, this is not at Disneyland. I'm sorry, like, it literally isn't at Disneyland, but there's nothing like it at Disneyland. Like, it's just like, it's like a whole other level. Like, I was just like, wow, you know, and that mixed with the other thing, other Star Wars thing that they don't have at Disneyland is the March of the First Order, which is just absolutely incredible. Like, just gave me chills. Like, just having, seeing the stormtroopers come down and clear the way and Captain Plasma leading them. And, you know, you hear her voice over the loudspeakers and she's just like, she doesn't really. She's a no-nonsense kind of lady. I don't know. And they walk down to the main area, and then just, if I was a kid and I saw this, I would feel like we were under attack. Like, I was like, I was so wrapped up in it. It was so much fun. They also had two meet and greets that are not at Disneyland. They had BB-8, which. We had a nice, great chat with BB-8 of him, which he was beeping at me, and I said, I nodded, and then the cast member told me what he said, and then he said, and then I answered the question. So, you know, that was amusing. And I also, they have a Star-Lord and Baby Groot meet and greet. They don't have the Baby Groot here at Disneyland.
No, we get full-grown Groot.
You get full-grown Groot. Which that was incredible. It was super amusing. And the Baby Groot, who, like, whoever's, it's not just like a random thing. Somebody is controlling it that knows and sees.
That's awesome.
What's going on. And it's really an experience. Like, it's not like, yeah, come here, take a picture. Cool. It's really like Star-Lord brings you over and started, they were talking to me about my facial hair. And they talk about the time they tried to put a mustache on Baby Groot, and he didn't like it, which he explained very specifically in, by stating, I am Groot. So I knew that he didn't like it. No, it was super fun and amusing.
That's awesome.
You know,
yeah, that looked really cool.
So, yeah, it's... So that's a little fun. You know, a lot of people are saying Hollywood Studios sucks because most of it's under construction. But the things that are there, I enjoy. I actually really, really love Sunset Boulevard and the theming. Like, I'm a huge fan of it. Like,
yeah, and the character interactions, yeah, the citizens, the interactions with the citizens. I don't know why people complain about Hollywood Studios. I love Hollywood Studios. Like, I am not one of those people that...
I mean, whatever. It may not be worth a, like a one day single park ticket based on how many attractions are open. I can give you that, but who's really going to do that? You park hop. You're on vacation. You're,
right.
You know, whatever. But you know, they should be. There's really not too much open. But what is there? you know, I enjoy. I tried to go to Pizza Rizzo, which is the new Muppets pizza restaurant that's opened up mm-hmm. there, but it was closed, so I have no review of that, which completely ruined my trip. I can't believe Pizza Rizzo.
Right? You're never going back again.
I'm never going back.
How dare they?
Yeah, I think that's all the kind of high points of theme parking it around there. Is there any questions or thoughts or comments you got there?
No, I don't think so. You pretty much talked about everything that I could think of and that I saw in the pictures and stuff. I do wish that there had been more pictures. I'm not going to lie.
Well, there's a lot of pictures I posted on my personal pages, and I posted some there, but there's a lot more to come.
Good. Okay, and I'll admit, okay, so I got back to the hotel one of the nights. I remember what night, but I got back to the hotel one of the nights, and I thought, man, I really wish I knew more about what was going on in Florida. You know, I really wish I knew I could see more about what James is doing, and I'm like, I feel like I'm really missing out. He's barely posted anything. But then I realized that I had been in Disneyland all day long, and I had only checked 5 minutes worth of social networks, and I was like, oh, hey, you know what? I'll bet he posted a bunch of stuff. I should go look.
You're like, yeah, you were preoccupied.
Yeah, but I did. I had that moment of, man, I totally feel like I'm missing out. I wish he would post more stuff. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Well, one thing I tried to do in general on my personal Instagram for the stories was I tried to just keep documenting everything that I was doing, because I remember I did that for one day last year on Snapchat, and I every once in a while I go back and watch that because it just brings me back to that day. That was the day I did all four parks. Yep. I did all this stuff, so I was like, well, I should do that now. And then I was posting on my personal Facebook. Anyone can follow my Instagram. So the stories aren't there anymore, but anyways, but you could have seen them. So I had several people that were following them just saying, my God, how are you not dead? You just keep doing so much stuff. And I was like, I don't know, man. You just put your head down and keep one foot in front of the other. I did get a pretty bad blister at one point, you know, I walked 40 miles during Jesus. That week. Yeah, it was intense. Very intense. But yeah, I get, you know, that was the other thing about, I feel like there needs to be someone on the Creepy Tour that their sole responsibility, not doing anything else, is just taking pictures and videos and posting to social media. Because
it would be good if you had someone that was really dedicated to that type of thing.
Yeah, I need to find someone.
Yeah, it's. I mean, those people are hard to find. Those people that are just addicted to social media and love posting every single thing that they do. I'll see if I can find someone like that for you.
I appreciate it. Well, you're talking about yourself, but no, I'm just saying that I was wearing so many hats on, you know, on this trip that, you know, that took its toll on me too. And I already, that's one way I walked away from this, was like, all right, I needed like three or four people to do everything that I was doing.
Yeah. And I mean, there were supposed to be four of us. It was supposed to be me, you know, you and Ryan and me and Sarah. And there were supposed to be four of us. So, and it was supposed to be more spread out among us of all of the stuff. But next year, next trip for sure.
Yeah. So there's a lot of more things to come. We have the special episodes where I recorded at some of the events. So, you know, I've been kind of saving some of the extra pictures and stuff like that. But I tried to give a taste of what was going on every day. So whatever, that's out there. So in the future here, we did talk about that, you know, this is going to go down again. Now we don't have dates, so that's not an announcement we're making right now. But I will say, literally, things are already in the works. We have talked about, you know, bringing on a partner to facilitate a lot more, you know, a lot of these logistics. Let's say
that was a meeting you had today,
yeah,
right?
I literally had that today. I'm being ominous about it because we haven't worked it all out.
Yes,
yet.
but literally things are in the works. That was a meeting today.
Yeah, and it's almost a year out, you know. So We want to make sure that if you want to come, you can be there. One of the things that I discussed, which I feel totally fine discussing right here, right now, is the option to be able to have a payment plan to be able to afford to go on this trip instead of putting all the money up front.
I think that's great.
Yeah, and you put it out, basically what we're going to work out is you'll be able to put down some type of deposit, and then once a month or every few months or whatever it works out, you pay towards it, and then by the time trip comes,
it's paid off.
And you're all good to go.
That's awesome. I love that idea.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if we've announced this on the show yet or not, but I'm just going to drop this out there. I feel like I've talked so much about this behind the scenes. I'm just going to lay it out there, is that the trip to Orlando is not the only trip that we're planning.
It's not.
No, it certainly isn't. we want to take a good old creepy trip to there's two other places we have in mind here. One, I don't even know which one's like the bigger one. I don't know. I mean, which, I don't know. They're both pretty awesome, right?
Okay. Go ahead. I'm really excited, you guys. Can you tell?
I'll say, one of them is to Salem, Massachusetts.
Which will be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been there, so it's personal.
Neither have I.
So take a group trip to there. That would be incredible. And we're also planning a group trip to New Orleans.
Yes! So, yes! Yes!
And I feel like there's a lot of fun stuff in Salem, but I feel like there's a lot of fun stuff in New Orleans that could tie into our creepy Disney stuff and just in general. Like, I think we're both those trips will be in for a treat. We're still working on logistics of when and where those will be, and I don't think both of those will be this year. I feel like one will be. Not, I mean, I don't mean this year. I mean next calendar year, like 2018. Yeah. There's no more trips in 2017.
No, we're doing them both this year.
2017.
You ready, guys?
Yeah. No, we're not.
We're doing both these trips 2017. Right now.
Yeah, we're leaving
in
tomorrow.
Fact, as soon as we're done recording this, I'm getting on an airplane and we're just going. Y'all will meet us there.
I don't know much because everything's in the planning stages. But what I can say is that late September for the next Creepy Tour Orlando 2018. We've already talked about it. We don't know everything that's going to go down, but we can tell you, when we go to Halloween Horror Nights, if you're one of those people that want to go, because I know not everybody's ready for that. we're going to RIP tour it the whole way. Will there be a Tower Terror party? I don't know. I mean, well, clearly, we were pretty far out for that kind of stuff, but it's never too far out to start planning.
It's true.
And overall, like I said, I had an amazing time hanging out with everybody. It was, that's what it's all about. It's why, the connecting with these like-minded people in one of our favorite places on earth, it was absolutely incredible. So it's interesting because I was wondering, like, should we do a SoCal tour? And we may or may not. To me, I don't even think about it because I'm like, well, I'm not going anywhere. But other people might want to come here.
Sure, there are other people in, other places around the country who think of Disneyland like we think of Disney World or even like we think of Paris or, Tokyo or whatnot. They don't get to go. So,
of course, I mean, there's a whole bunch of East Coasters that even people that were on this tour, they've never been.
Yeah.
I
100% think that we should do a Disneyland.
I'm sure that we will. But I'm just saying that's right now. Those are what's in the plans. That's what's in the ducket.
I have another idea, too, that we'll talk about when we're done.
All right. Well, I think I might have probably mentioned this in the intro. I'm sure I have now because I will now definitely say it. For the Disneyland people, we are going to be having a Creepy Kingdom holiday soiree. I couldn't say party because I had to
make no, some, you had to make it fancy. It's got to be fancy.
Yeah. Which is happening December 9th at a location TBA. If you're interested in it, you know, we have the event page, you know.
RSVP. Go to Facebook. There. Tell us you're interested.
And then from there, we'll take it from there.
the location will be decided depending on how many people show up. So it is really important that if you do want to come and be part of the holiday soiree, that that you do go and RSVP so that we have a better idea.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that's it. I think that's the end of this creepy tour. Orlando 2017, it was the first year. We had some road bumps along the way, but we, you know, persevered, and we're going to keep moving on to the future.
Yes. We're going to do NOLA, Salem, and Disneyland, and more Disney World. It's going to be amazing.
It's like, hey, we all want to go to these places anyway. Let's go together and have a great time.
Right? Sounds good to me.
To contact us here at the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, you can do so by emailing us creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, videos, links to our articles, photo reports, everything Creepy Kingdom, links to all of our social media, all of it, just go to creepykingdom.com. And if you want to support us and want bonus content, the only place to do that is patreon.com/creepykingdom. Well, until next time. Keep it creepy.
Oh, boy. This is a real show I got on the throat, huh?
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.
3P Kingdom is brought to you by Bat in Your Belfry. Bat in Your Belfry is a collection of original macabre art and art pieces, with many Haunted Mansion and Nightmare Before Christmas inspired prints available. They also have pieces inspired by Harry Potter, The Witch, Edgar Allan Poe, Chernabog, Krampus, and so much more. Check out Etsy.com/shop/Bat in Your Belfry. That's Etsy.com/shop/Bat in Your Belfry.
I think since it's her first year. What was that?
I don't know.
Oh, it sounded like a ghost jumped into this conversation. No.
I didn't hear anything. Apparently a ghost followed James home. All right.